Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this September 11th, 2025. I have your host, James, here, welcoming back to the studio our good friend, Janelle Weir, horticultural educator with UW Division of Extension, Wood County. Janelle, good to have you in studio.
You know, it's good to be back. I always enjoy our conversations.
It feels like it's always been forever since we get to talk. And I make no bones about this. I'm very honest with the audience. I learn every time you're here. My favorite thing to do is learning. So it's always great hanging out with you. And then you bring a topic here that is right in my wheelhouse, one I love so much, and the changing of the seasons and the changing of these leaves and foliage and fall leaf color changes. We're going to dive into that today.
Yeah. You know, I think when I think about this time of year and I think about the leaves changing their colors and the whys and the hows that it all happens, you know, I get kind of excited because I'm always really, really interested in learning lessons from Mother Nature. And when we really dig into the whys and the hows of the leaves changing their colors this time of year, there's a real powerful lesson there that I'm really excited to share, and I hope that the listeners will dig the whole what we're going to be talking about today. So, talking about it, fall color change and why it happens. And so, you know, basically what happens is you've got these different, when we're looking at a leaf in the middle of summertime, what we see is the color green being reflected back into our eyes. But that's not the only pigment that's in that leaf, right? There's also some orange pigments and yellow pigments and red pigments too, right? So that color change that we see right now, those pigments were always there. It's not like, you know, all of a sudden, you know, there was an injection in the leaf of red color. Instead, what happens is this time of year, the plants that lose their leaves, those plants know, you know, hey, winter's coming. And the whole reason why they lose their leaves is because if they maintain those leaves in a, you know, a growing state, a non-dormant state, they would lose too much moisture and that would cause the tree to die. So the whole reason why trees lose their leaves is so that way they don't lose extra moisture over the winter time. Okay. So since they're going to have to lose their leaves, when the plant's kind of looking at those pigments and all the pigments that are there, the pigment that causes the green is really high in nitrogen, right? Well, nitrogen is a pretty high commodity in the plant world, right? Yeah, or in the natural world. And so Mother Nature's looking at, all right, we gotta ditch these leaves, but wait a second. There's something worth a lot of value in those green pigments. And so the plant basically just reabsorbs all of that nitrogen, right?
It's amazing.
So the plant's reabsorbing that nitrogen and it's taking it back inside of the, so that way it could store it for next year, right? And in the meantime, so what we're seeing is either the yellow pigments or the red pigments that were always there the whole time. I really get excited about this because I think, you know, there's a lesson there of like taking a look at what Mother Nature's doing. She is not wasting a pinch. Mm-hmm. She's taking all of that nitrogen and recycling it. She's making use of it because she knows, hey, this is something that's valuable and we're not going to waste that.
I remember when it is so well said. I couldn't agree more. It's so unique and cool. And I loved seeing these parallels between things in life. And I remember when I was younger and I read that a tiger stripes are on its skin. You know, you can shave a tiger down, it's still got stripes. The colors in these leaves remind me of that a bit. And also using, and maybe it's a bit of using the terminology pigment and stuff, does remind me of us as people too. We talk about this all the time. No matter how we may look on the outside, we're all the same on the inside. It's just a nice reminder of that, I think, too. And very, very cool, by the way, too. If, for those that didn't know, that's going to blow your mind knowing that. Like, wait a minute, they're always that color? They got all those colors in there? It's really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, something that I think that you were really, I would say, if you don't mind me saying so, ahead of the game on and everything, and something that has very become common now. We have known, you know, when we get to summer and not mowing and some of those things, and the importance for our pollinators with that, talking about helping out our bees and some of these things. For me, if it wasn't my mom, it was you, the first person I talked to about this, and I think a lot of our audience might have been got into from. And one other thing that I wanted to get into, another thing I want to get into with you is something else that I don't know is as common, but I hope will be, and talking about and making more of a normalized thing. And the idea of leaving the leaves. And I'm not saying this just because I have a bad back. That isn't the only reason. Okay, it's a tiny little percent of a reason.
Yeah, it's I love the phrase of it too, because it's so easy to remember. Leave the leaves, right? So the idea here is we're just thinking about how we do our maintenance in our landscapes. And the traditional wisdom of many, many decades before now has been in the fall, we need to make everything super tidy, right? We want to rake up all the leaves, put them in bags and either jump or put them in piles and either jump in the piles many times or, you know, bag them up and send them off to the city compost, or maybe just burn them if we live out in the country. But it's real, you know, idea that, you know, it's just absolutely, you know, lockstep this time of year, we need to rake up those leaves. And what we're doing now is just kind of rethinking, why do we want to rake those leaves? Mm-hmm. What is the purpose, right? Are we just doing busy work? You know, is there a real need for this tidiness? And what we think of as tidiness is being good, right?
Right, right.
So let's just pause for a second and think about what are some of the benefits of leaving the leaves in place, okay?
Yeah.
So number one, we could think of that as a natural mulch. You know, especially I'm kind of thinking about in particular inside perennial beds. And if we think about last year, we had a lot of both perennials, so herbaceous plants that aren't woody, but woody plants too. A lot of younger trees, not well-established trees or smaller shrubs that actually suffered a lot of damage this past winter because there wasn't a nice snow cover, right?
Yeah.
So when we're thinking about these leaves are actually a natural mulch layer, right? And so in those perennial beds, leaving the leaves in the perennial beds is actually going to help protect them, especially if we have another winter where we don't have significant snow cover for long periods of time. And if we have those really, really cold, cold temperatures too, it's going to be super helpful. Besides that, though, you know, when we think about and just how nature works, we've got, they call it nutrient cycling, right? But I mean, that's just basically like composting in place. As the leaves decompose, they're going to leave a little bit of nutrients that's going to add to the soil. It's going to feed the plants. It's going to feed the lawn, as well as perennial beds, trees, all of that type of stuff. So we've got that added benefit of getting a little bit of extra nitrogen in that soil, as well as just anytime.
I thought you were there, but I just had a thought of that, of, you know, because we talk so much about how much people love their lawns. It feels like, Janelle, doing that and leaving the leaves can even make a more beautiful lawn in come summer and everything.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of times people's immediate thought is you can't have a single leaf on the lawn because that's going to harm the lawn. When actually, if we really think about this, kind of zoom out and think about it, by adding that added mulch layer, by adding that additional, you know, those nutrients, that's going to, and the organic matter, we're talking about plant material, right? Anytime we add organic matter to the soil, it's going to improve the soil health. Whether it's if you've got clay soils or sandy soils, you know, adding organic matter is always the answer to improving those soils. So, yeah, you know, if you are somebody that, I kind of think about lawn maintenance as a choose your own adventure. Some people choose to have very, very high maintenance lawns. You know, they want a monoculture of only grass plants that are just absolutely perfect, right? And then you've got other people like me that are just shooting for green stuff growing, right?
I love that, yes.
And, you know, and there's no judgment here, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a whole spectrum of what you want. Your expectations are out of the lawn. But if you are hoping for a really that high maintenance lawn that I was talking about, you're shooting for something similar to a golf course, leaving some leaves is actually going to be beneficial for you.
And very interesting. And I think, to be honest, if it's one of those things that gets people to do this, cool.
Yeah.
that we'll take that. That's a good reason to do it, just you know, as many others are.
Speaking of other reasons, too. So one of the reasons that I kind of get excited about is going back to the pollinators. And again, you know, I know not everybody is terribly excited about the pollinators, right? People are wondering, you know, butterflies, sure, it's pretty nice, you know, whatever. But I'm here to make the argument, if you enjoy food, if you like to eat, you should be concerned about the pollinator problem, right?
I'm seeing everybody raise their hand. Yes. It's such an important note. And I don't know that we could ever say it enough.
It's all of our problem, right? Yes. So one of the things that we can do when it comes to the pollinator problem, all of us, especially homeowners, or even if you've got rentals, if you're a renter, if you've got landscapes that you're responsible for maintaining, leaving, so here's the thing. That leaf litter that's in the lawn, or it's over in the perennial bed, or up over in your lilac bushes, that leaf litter is going to have some pollinator eggs inside of it, right? And so by leaving the leaves, we're letting those pollinator eggs overwinter, right? So we're giving that next generation, next year's generation, a chance to survive winter, right?
Yeah,
We remove all of the leaves inside of our yard and, you know, rake them all up and bag them up and have them destroyed, that's going to be less of a pollinator population that's going to be available next year.
When's the last time you saw a squirrel raking?
Right.
You know, in the forest, we have a perfect example of this all around us. The forest does this. That's how they handle this. They just let it be. And it seems to help the forest quite a bit. I'm not trying to use a reach of an example or anything, but I do think that that is a bit of an example of what we're talking about here. And something to keep in mind if we're trying to get, you know, people to give this a chance or give it a shot or something. Thinking of those things, I think, are more than enough evidence right in front of you every day of, hey, this is a smart way of handling this.
Yeah, you know, in the past, we've had this attitude of tidiness as being something good, right? But yeah, you're absolutely right. When we look at how ecosystems actually function and take a look inside the forest, right? The forest is naturally, the leaves fall in the ground, they decompose. We've got all sorts of organisms that are relying on each other, the web of life. You remove any little strand of that web and you'll find parts of it start to collapse. And that's what we're witnessing in real time right now.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, if anybody's interested, you know, you can take a look online in Wikipedia. Check out the term windshield effect. And if anybody's been around on the planet for, you know, I'm Jen, so to give you an idea, that time period or older, maybe even our older millennials, you'll remember back in the day of driving down the road, especially I'm picturing, I grew up in northern Illinois for a time, and you know, you're driving down the road in the cornfields and the windshield is just completely smattered with insects, right? Don't have those windshield problems like we used to. You got to drive for a while before your windshield needs to be cleaned, right?
That's really good to bring up.
So check out, it's something that, you know, if you can remember back in the day, know, you that's evidence right in front of us that we're having a huge, huge decline in the insect population. And that is fundamentally going to affect us in so many ways that we can't even imagine yet.
also Gen X, also grew up in Northern Illinois, know exactly what you're talking about and remembered it so vividly as you were describing it. And then I remember the last time I was on the highway. And I don't actually remember the last time I did experience that or anything. And I don't think many of us have thought of that. And that is such a great comp to bring up when it comes to this. And one of those other examples, because there are so many of them that we're not even thinking of. And to your point, there's so much of this that we really don't know the fallout of just yet. We're going to find out. And let's hope that we can, so much of this is preventing from finding out too much, you know, or it being too much, you know, that getting to a point of no return or something along those lines. These pollinators are just as important as we are on this planet.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody, every humans, insects, everything has a niche to fill.
We all got a role. Right? We all got a job to do. when it comes to the pollinator habitat, you've touched on this a bit, Janelle. If you wanted to touch on that some more, I know that this it's another big part of this.
Well, one thing that you want to keep in mind, so a couple of thoughts. Where are we going to put these leaves? Some of them you can leave right on the lawn, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But also, you know, one of my favorite things to do is I'll take a lot of my leaves and just gently rake them into my perennial beds. If I've got them inside of my perennial beds, that's going to be a great place to help, again, provide that mulch layer, provide that extra protection for my perennials, and my those pollinators can just kind of chill and sleep. Now, there's another phrase that's starting to become popular, and it's... I am drawing a blank now. Darn it. Okay. But anyways, basically it means move slowly in the spring. Don't get crazy and get out there in March, you know, the end of March, getting out there cleaning your perennial beds and cleaning up all of those leaves. You put those leaves there, you know, we're letting the perennials sleep, or we're letting the pollinators sleep. So we want to just wait until things have actually broken dormancy in the spring to let the, to clean out those beds. So kind of thinking about it both in the fall as well as the spring. We want to avoid disturbing those pollinators as much as possible, or that leaf litter as much as possible, until spring, and like really fully spring when things are starting to wake up.
Hmm. We're speaking with Janelle Weir, horticulture educator, UW Division of Extension, Wood County. Janelle, we've kind of asked people and talking to people about why to leave them, but what about where to leave leaves? How about that?
Yeah, so I like the idea. Like I said, I love using leaves as a part of a mulch layer around those perennial beds. And, you know, if you've got some leaves that are kind of around, say, your maybe not the most hardy woody shrubs. So I'm thinking about those endless summer hydrangeas, also known as endless bummer hydrangeas. Those guys can be really frustrating because the crowns are basically the roots of the shrubs are hardy, but the buds aren't. So if we get a really cold temperatures, those buds aren't going to make it. Mm-hmm. If you're stuffing that space with a lot of leaves, you got a better chance of actually protecting them. Mm. So maybe those endless summers won't be a bummer for you next year.
Yeah, well, that might be reason alone for people right there. That's a good one. That's good.
So when we're thinking about that lawn, and here's the thing that I don't think that it's a lot for me to convince people to protect their perennial beds and raking into those perennial beds, but the lawn, you know, people really, really have a maybe a misunderstanding in their mind that if there is any leaf litter on the grass and it snows, then you're going to end up with, you know, die out of the lawn. So I want you to think about it this way. If you've got like maybe 20-30% of the lawn being covered by leaves, leave them. That is perfectly fine. Mm. If we're getting around 50%, you can still leave those leaves too. Mm. It's not until we're like at a 70-75% coverage of the lawn, or I'm also thinking like, are the leaves piling up? right? If you've got some leaves on the ground, that's okay. Yeah. But if you've got leaves that are actually...
there's a layer.
There's a layer, right? Yeah. Well, then you can tell, like, that's going to turn into almost like plastic smothering the ground. Right. We don't want that. But as long as you've got little tufts of grass popping up here and there in between the leaves, those are all going to be fine to leave. If it's not, okay, so I will tell you that I live in the part of Stevens Point where the houses are stacked right on top of each other, and my backyard is very, very, very shady. So for my yard, that's why I, in those areas where it would be packed with leaves, in those spaces, I don't remove the leaves, I just move them. So that way, you know, the leaf litter is still there, the pollinator eggs are perfectly fine. They're just stashed more, so that way I don't have as much of a packed level of leaves. Now, I will tell you, in the front yard, I don't have quite the concentration of leaves. And so those leaves, and it's probably more somewhere between, say, 40 to 60% leaf cover. Those guys, I just leave.
Okay. So really well broken down. And I could even understand. Especially the idea of the percentages there. I think a lot of us are doing that in our heads already. And that's a really good way for us to keep this in something good to keep in mind with this, because the next part of this, and you touched on this a little bit also, that when to mow versus rake, and that eternal question, Janelle.
Yeah. So for here, one of the things I want to keep in mind, I've had a lot of people that have called me. Actually, this year hasn't been as bad. Last year was much more significantly worse. But last year was a real rough year for fungal diseases because we had such a really wet early part of the season. And I think it was a little wet in the last part of the season too. If you've been struggling with diseases, okay, lilacs in particular have been hit significantly with septoria. And so if you're looking at your lilacs and your lilacs are all brown and the leaves are falling off, or even more, you called me and you talked to me about your lilacs, and I told you the most important thing that you need to do when you have a fungal disease is pick up all of those leaves. Do not let those leaves overwinter, right?
Yeah.
So here I'm giving you conflicting messages. I would say in general, if the leaves aren't diseased, if you haven't been struggling with some sort of a disease, leave them in place. Not a big deal. But if we're talking about you have a crab apple in your front yard and you've been struggling with apple scab the past couple of years, your lilacs have been looking really, really rough lately. You're trying to deal with septoria. In those cases, if you've been dealing with a fungal disease, you do not want to leave the leaves in place. That fungal disease, what's going to happen is the pathogen or the disease-causing organism is going to overwinter, just like our pollinator eggs. The pathogens or those fungal spores are going to overwinter on that leaf material. So this would be the case that I would say, let's clean her up. Let's not leave those leaves in place. So just shy of if you've been dealing with a disease, then go ahead and leave them. And again, if you are dealing with a situation where, you know, you've got a really heavy leaf litter and raking isn't a good option for you, and you've got your lawn, picture my backyard, lots of super shady, lots of leaves. If raking isn't an option for you, and raking would be more productive for the pollinators, if raking isn't an option for you, I would say just go ahead and mow them in place then. Mowing them in place is still going to provide that additional organic material that's going to improve your soil health and your lawn's health in turn.
Incredible information today, Janelle. You really brought it. As we're wrapping up here, I did want to touch on a couple of other little things. The other uses for leaves, and including with this, if you don't mind, the kind of fun part of it, if you will, too.
Oh, sure. So number one, leaves are black gold. I have friends who this time of year or in the next few months, they start scouting their neighbors and they're, you know, like, hey, what are you going to do with those leaves? Right. So definitely awesome.
Like they're truffles or something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, definitely super, super helpful for adding your browns to your compost bin. Really invaluable. I'll be honest with you. If somebody tried to take my leaves from me, I'd be like, no, go find your own trees.
That rake gets a second use all right. of a sudden. You can find another use for that rake.
You know, you could also use those leaves, like I said, for winter protection. If you hang on to them, and I've done this before too, I'll hang on to some of my leaves to add as a brown for the following summer's compost bin, but I also use them in my garden. So I'll keep maybe a bag's worth to use as a mulch in my garden to help with a moisture retention as well as suppressing weeds. And then, you know what? If you have young people in your life, I think, you know, let's bring back the old jump in the piles and whee!
Our generation, going back to that, we didn't have bouncy houses left and right like this one. We had those. Man, you lived for that. It was worth it. I cannot imagine how many times I've raked in my life. But almost every one of them, I guarantee you, that was what the carrot at the end of the stick was for me, getting to do that. And then, of course, you got to rake them back up and put them in the bag. But it was so worth it. It was so worth it. Yes, you're 100% right about this. You talk about something that you can do, and it is also, because the thing that I think of that memory, and it just happened just now, and I haven't thought about this in a while, but it popped right in my head. Doing that with my dad, my brother, my sister, the family moment of that, while also learning, hey, this is something that we, when we work together, what we can accomplish. There's so many little lessons in there that you learn as a kid, because brains are sponges. So they're not only going to have fun and have a good family memory there, but seeing you putting in, you know, caring about the planet, caring about your own community in these things, that goes a long way too. It's a win-win.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everyone's first teacher is their parents, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, setting the stage.
Yeah. So there are so many other reasons for this. And as we're wrapping up, Janelle, I would like to let people know that if you are, you know, interested in this, want to find out more, want to be a part of this, support this kind of work and what's being done here, how can they do that?
Here at Extension, we have a ton of really cool resources. So if you're interested in learning a little bit more, you can actually read this really wonderful article written by my colleague, Diane Alfolf. Her article's name is Leave the Leaves. So if you just Google UW-Madison, Leave the Leaves, you're going to be able to find that.
I encourage you to do that. You know, support our pollinators. Share this information with your neighbors, friends, and family. I think our station and our people out there, our producers, everybody do a great job promoting this stuff, getting it out there. Our ratings speak to that. We got nice ratings over here. But we all know word of mouth how far that goes. So spread the word about this one with your friends and family and neighbors. And let's all get on boat with this one and save our backs.
Yeah, you know, I think fundamentally it really comes down to just changing the lens, changing the framework. Instead of, you know, looking at a lawn with some leaves on it and thinking, oh, that looks dirty, that doesn't look tidy, instead look at that and say, oh, that looks alive. Mm-hmm. And making alive be exciting.
Well said, and well done, Janelle. Always fun talking with you. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for joining us for another edition of WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic here at WFHR.